Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 142 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I'm super excited to bring you my interview with Brandon Hurtado from Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington, Texas. This one's interesting too because it kind of shows the process and how he grew up with his dad cooking barbecue and cooking on an offset and getting that experience of the overnight cooks and how wonderful that is to keep feet in the fire and make sure temperature is right. He didn't necessarily envision himself going specifically into barbecue. He was going to marketing. He has a marketing agency called Anchor, A-N-K-R, Anchor Agency. I'll put a link in the show notes below, but that's his business, and that's been his business, and things are going to change a lot because in November, we talk about the fact that he's opening a brick and mortar, which is, we go into depth on that. But the whole journey, and it's the journey that a lot of people that are watching this or listening to this or have an interest in going into barbecue are setting themselves up on that path, which is the path to get a smoker, start making food, make too much, give it to friends because you're making too much, and then you end up doing pop-ups and heated pop-ups at breweries. And I asked him specifically what that pop-up life is like. And he's blunt about it. He's honest about it. Not saying that you shouldn't do it. It's just saying that it's not an easy thing. It's not easy to not have a specific location and a specific schedule. He has one now at Division Brewery. He's open on Fridays starting at 5 and Saturday starting at 11. And with this brick and mortar, things will change. I'm excited that he took the time to go into everything and especially about into where Arlington fits in the whole scheme of things in the barbecue world and in Texas and where it's located, because you might not know if you're not from Texas where Arlington exactly is. You might know that it's near Dallas, it's near Fort Worth, but we go into it and discuss kind of where the location is and how great the location is and how Arlington is really underserved with the craft barbecue. We also go into his menu too, which is interesting. He has quail on his menu. I don't know any other barbecue joints that have quail, but if you follow Hurtado Barbecue on Instagram, you will be hungry every time he makes a post. You'll definitely make it one of your stops when you hit the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I want to point out, this is a prime example of the wonderful barbecue world coming together and helping each other. He joined the North Texas Barbecue Addicts Facebook group, so I'm putting a shout out to them because that's a great group, and he joined that, and that's another thing that kind of spurred him to realize, wow, this barbecue thing is, a lot of people really like it. It's really, really amazing, an amazing group of people that helped each other. And then when he got his cooker, his second cooker, he had AJ Custom Cookers retool it because it wasn't, he tried to get it to his specifications and it wasn't, so he got it to AJ killed it. He made it exactly how he wanted, and then AJ actually did his food trailer itself and gutted it and redid it and made it awesome. So AJ, I have an interview coming up in a couple weeks with him that I'm editing right now, so you'll really enjoy that. He's super interesting guy, and definitely a guy that you'd want to use in a pinch or not in a pinch, or just to use to make stuff for. He's got some really cool ideas, and we did a tour of his facility. It's really, really cool. But also, Panther City and Zavala's, they all helped him out in this road to getting to where he is. So it's just, it's an amazing world. I hope you get a lot of this interview. Again, thanks, Brendan. And this episode is sponsored by The Smoke Sheet. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter available at bbqnewsletter.com. It's a weekly newsletter. It comes in your inbox every Wednesday. It's chock full of tons of information, started by Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC BBQ. There's great stuff like barbecue joints openings and closings and links to all the cool videos that are online, the new barbecue joint YouTube stuff and Vimeo stuff, and then all the podcasts, tons of podcasts that are available, but they ferret them out and they give you the best ones of the week. But I think something that I really want to highlight is that at the beginning of each smoke sheet, they have original content. They either have a guest writer who writes something amazing for a specific area, talks about a specific area. This week covers Kansas City, so someone talks in depth about Kansas City, but they've talked about the Windy City Smokeout, places they visit, events they visit. It's really, really informative. So it's almost like a magazine/newsletter. There's a lot of information involved. There's a recipe of the week. I've gotten emails from people recently saying, I check out the recipe every week, and I make it, and I love it. So it's working. People are really reading this and really enjoying it, and I think that's awesome because it's important to be informed, especially the barbecue world is changing rapidly, and there's so much growth and so much going on event-wise and cool stuff. So check out the smoke sheet. Sign up. Super easy. Go to bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. Get it every Wednesday. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. You can check out all my links to the podcast stuff, the YouTube stuff. If you're just listening to this podcast, check out the YouTube stuff. Just search Kevin's BBQ Joints. You can find me. There's a lot of cool information. There's a lot of these interviews. Most of these interviews are in YouTube form, as well as trips to barbecue joints and butcher shops. And there's tons more content coming. I've editing like crazy. I have a lot of backlog, but there's some really cool stuff that you're going to want to check out. So check out all that stuff. You can catch me on social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. All the social medias, most of them, not Snapchat. I don't know. But again, thank you, the listener, the watcher. I totally appreciate it. And write me a note, DM me, send me an email. Let me know what you're thinking. See if I'm missing anybody that you really want to hear from. I'll badger them for 2 years until they actually want to talk to me. But I'm pretty tenacious. So, but I really love what I'm doing. I hope you enjoy these. Enjoy this. I used to start off these interviews with like what's a usual day like, and I'd like to get to that. But what does barbecue mean to you? Like, what is this whole barbecue world, and what does it mean for your future too?
So barbecue has really kind of sucked me in, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again, that I had no plans whatsoever to start a restaurant, to start a food truck even. It all started out with just really a raw passion for cooking. And it didn't even start with barbecue necessarily, to be totally honest. I mean, I've always loved to cook. And that ranged from making, you know, Mexican food, making migas for breakfast, or cooking steak on the grill for dinner. And it kind of started with that. And I joined this Facebook group called North Texas Barbecue Addicts sometime like really early last year. I think it was like around January, maybe December of the previous year. But that really sparked a passion for barbecue that I don't think I knew that I had.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a kind of a cool shout out, because I joined him, I think, like 5 or 6 months ago. And people post a lot of stuff on that.
They do. It's a very engaged group of people that aren't even necessarily in North Texas. So I think that's kind of the cool thing, is that you don't have to be from North Texas to be in this group. But that really transitioned me from being a backyard barbecue guy that's cooking on this small little char griller smoker, you know, this modified char griller, to buying my first trailer smoker, which happened like in February, March of last year.
Wow.
And yeah, it's happened 0 to 100.
Sounds like so what made you even join that group? Was it just totally spur of the moment, kind of random?
No, so my cousin, her and her husband were in that group, and they also do barbecue, and they do a lot of pop-ups in North Texas, and they invited me to this group, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, barbecue is way bigger than I thought it was. And, you know, I saw all these people that are making all this really cool stuff from in their backyard to doing pop-ups. And that's kind of how it started.
Wow. So did you grow up in Arlington or in North Texas?
I grew up in North Texas. So in Irving, which is just a suburb of Dallas, and went to Irving High School. But I went to college in Arlington at UT Arlington. And I have another business, a marketing agency, which is in downtown Arlington. So I have this real affinity for the city of Arlington, you know, having spent a lot of time there.
What is Arlington like?
It is it's a developing city. I say that because it's got like all of these really classic roots that are, you know, range from the ballpark of Arlington where the Texas Rangers play, to now the Dallas Cowboys, you know, have AT&T Stadium in the city of Arlington. So we have like all of this convention tourism business that comes through the city, but a lot of people don't know anything about the city in general. And this massive university that is a huge commuter college, where we have people from all over the country that, you know, have come here to go to school for engineering or nursing. And it really is like a fantastic city, but not a whole lot of people know about it. So,
do people live there and then work in Dallas? Is that something that you could do, or people would do?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two main highways that run through Arlington, Interstate 30 and I-20, both connect to Fort Worth and Dallas. So there's a lot of people that commute, and there's a lot of people that commute to Arlington for work too.
Okay.
We have the General Motors plant there, and a lot of businesses are moving to Arlington. So it really is a booming city.
So it's a perfect place to have a barbecue spot too, I would think.
It's a really perfect place because there's not a whole lot of craft barbecue, if any, in the city of Arlington with hundreds of thousands of people that live there.
I hate to ask this, how far away is Fort Worth from you?
Probably about 25, 30 minutes. So
that's a good, distance. Yeah. That's a good distance.
Yeah. And I purposefully did not want to be in Fort Worth because I feel like there's so much amazing barbecue there already that they've kind of got their bases covered. People in Arlington have to go to Dallas or Fort Worth to get really good barbecue, in my opinion.
Well, that's great. Like, and I was saying off camera is, every time I see an Instagram post from you, I want to visit you and I want to have your food. It looks that good. And plating, obviously, it's like become sort of an art, but your food looks fantastic. And so that's a great that you had that option. So how did you go? So you were cooking, was your family?
So my dad worked for the city of Irving for 30 plus years. And I remember growing up, he had a trailer smoker and he would cook for the Christmas parties every year. So I'd be sitting outside by the fire, you know, box with him while he's just feeding logs to it.
That's a cool experience.
It was really cool. Yeah. Growing up like that. And then we have a ranch out in West Texas where, you know, they have smokers and stuff and we'd be cooking on the grill and whatnot. But all of that is way different from what I consider craft barbecue now. My dad kind of still even believes in cooking briskets, you know, fat side down no matter what, and scraping all the fat off the top. And it's just a very, like, that's how barbecue was when he grew up in the 80s and 90s. So
I've even talked to people like Tim Bakeska. He mentioned that there was a couple of decades where people didn't want fat at all on it.
Yeah, I think Austin as a whole has really shaped what people consider barbecue in 2019.
Wow, that's interesting. But you still like the barbecue that was being put out by your dad, right?
I mean, I don't really remember liking it. I just remember it being cool hanging out with him by the smoker. But he's always been a good cook, so I never complained for sure.
Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Has he had your barbecue?
Absolutely.
What does he think? Does he say this stuff is it like the new music? Like, I don't like this new music.
No, now he works for the city of Brownwood where the ranch is, and he asked for me to send him whole chilled brisket so that he can take it to work. And, you know, he took like a brisket to work a couple weeks ago and everyone was like, oh, this is amazing. When are y'all going to open a Hurtado's in Brownwood? It's like, never. It's not happening. Population 2000. No, it's not happening.
You heard it here first. It's Snoop.
No, he really does love the barbecue. And
that's nice.
I'm still learning from my dad every day. And my mom too. She's taught me like how to make a lot of our sides. She's made, you know, charro beans and showed me. She's lived with my dad since she was 16. So her not being Hispanic and my dad being Hispanic, she grew up with his family learning how to cook from my grandma who's still alive and, you know, learning a lot of her recipes. So my mom has kind of passed those down to me. And that's evident in like our barbecue every weekend.
And we're kind of jumping ahead, but it's Tex-Mex, right? Like it's like truly Tex-Mex what you have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Craft Tex-Mex, maybe.
Craft Tex-Mex, yeah.
So then when from being on the Facebook group to actually purchasing a trailer, how quickly was that, and where did you get your trailer, your smoker from?
So I bought my first trailer smoker. It was a 250-gallon custom trailer from this guy out in Brownwood. I just saw it on Facebook Marketplace like last February or March. And it was a good deal, so I went down there and bought it, not really knowing anything about smokers or, you know, I knew how to barbecue, but I just didn't know a lot about the thermodynamics of, you know,
yeah, smoking. Which is so funny that we all know that now. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Not totally. So, I don't think I know it as well as either you or someone like Sonny.
Knowing what I know now, I probably wouldn't have bought that pit, but it, you know, it helped kind of spark a passion that I have now for barbecue. So I bought that and cooked on it for a few weeks and decided to do my first pop-up at Division Brewing in Arlington last summer. I just talked to the owners by chance and I was like, hey, you know, I'd love to have a little like taco night here. So
this is summer of 2018, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just for people that say they're watching this in 2023.
Yeah. So summer of 2018, we do our first pop-up at Division Brewing.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely insane. Just tacos only. I mean, it was packed. It was crazy.
Wow.
We sold out in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And
what time were you doing? Just brisket tacos or pork tacos too? Or?
We did brisket, and I believe we did pulled pork. And I think that was it. Yeah, it was such a long time ago, and we've done so many since then. But it was just like, I think brisket and pulled pork tacos, and people loved it. Like, it was really cool. It was just different.
Were you making tortillas at the time? Or?
No, we weren't making our own tortillas. I've experimented so much with making my own, and I have an awesome recipe for brisket tallow tortillas, but the whole like manufacturing of as many as we go through every weekend, we just don't have the equipment set up yet to be able to do that. Yeah. So that's something that I want to do, but you know, we use a commercial product that I feel like is very close to what I would expect going to my grandma's house.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, a good tortilla. There's like nothing like a good tortilla. Like, it really. So then from that, were people saying, hey, can you make me a brisket? Or were people starting to inquire more about what you were doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. They were asking when is our next pop-up? And I think what really changed for us was whenever I decided to actually brand this whole initiative and call it something. I think that's what kind of sparked the following for us.
Like, brand it and also what, do more social media and do that, like the whole.
Yeah. So the whole nine yards, having the logo, social media and everything, and creating a business out of it. I was like, oh, well, you know, I think this is something that obviously I have enough spare time on my hands. I might as well do something else. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Marketing wasn't busy enough.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's a great background to have. What do you? I don't think people realize enough how important the marketing aspect is, and a lot of people I think stumble upon it, and it works. But you have that background.
Yeah. So I've done marketing for like the last 10 to 12 years, and I started my agency in 2015, and it's been really, really successful. Like, we're super fortunate to have the clients that we have and the employees that we have. But at the same time, you know, the passion that I have for marketing is totally different from the passion that I have for barbecue.
What's the agency called?
It's called Anchor Agency, A-N-K-R Agency.
And do you do like small to big companies, or because someone that's listening to this might be interested?
Yeah, we do most like mid to enterprise size business to business organizations. So that can range from construction companies to auto finance. My background was in marketing for financial institutions, so that's kind of where I got a lot of that experience from.
I see. Okay, cool. That's a quick aside. I'll put a link in the show notes, dude.
There you go. Yeah,
just in case. You never
know. Yeah, just in case we're not busy enough.
Yeah. what's the website, like anchormarketing.com?
It's anchoragency.com.
Anchoragency.com/ Kevin's Barbecue Joints.
There you go. Exactly. We'll create an affiliate link for you.
I'm just joking. Totally kidding. Then. But you always hear those things like, make sure you put my name in the box. How did it snowball? Did you get a bigger smoker, or what was the next step?
I didn't get a bigger smoker until like maybe Q4 of last year. You know, really, I learned a lot on that little 250-gallon trailer smoker and did more pop-ups at different breweries in Fort Worth and then back in different places in Arlington, and kind of got my basis there. But then I upgraded through the same guy who built my pit, and I told him that I wanted to, you know, move up from there, kind of scale up. And so he found a tank that was like a 750-gallon tank and started on that build. And
did you give him the specs that you wanted?
Absolutely. So I know a lot of guys and started to build kind of a camaraderie with a lot of guys that are here in the local barbecue scene, and they were kind of helping me along and giving me some ideas for specs and whatnot. And I don't know what happened, but there was some miscommunication along the way, and things did not turn out how I wanted them to on that pit. So when I picked it up, I think it was like right around Thanksgiving, and I had a lot of turkeys that I needed to smoke for veterans and for police departments that I was giving away. So I literally got it like the day before. My very first cook on it was like 30 turkeys for Thanksgiving. And it didn't do exactly what I was wanting it to do. So the firebox was a little bit too low. The smokestack was a little too high. And I ended up asking for some help and some recommendations. And Panthers City Barbecue here in Fort Worth. Yeah. They recommended me to AJ out in Saginaw.
AJ who, Custom Smokers?
Mm-hmm. And I talked to AJ, and he was like, hey, drop it off at my place, and I'll get you fixed up. I told him exactly
what
I wanted. And literally, like, right around Christmas time, he had almost a brand new smoker. Not only that, he had a relationship with Zavala's Barbecue in Grand Prairie, and somehow was able to get me the trailer that they were selling with a roof on it. So I now have a custom AJ pit mounted on a Zavala's old trailer with the roof and all, the whole nine yards.
With a connection to Panther City. See, that's like the barbecue love and family. That's really cool.
Absolutely, yeah. So I take a lot of pride in the pit that we have, and you know, it's done a really, really awesome job for it.
Do you have a name for it?
I don't have a name for it. You know, it's been through so much. Maybe Frankenstein, I don't know. It's kind of like a modified version of what it was intended to be, but yeah.
Well, can you go back really quick to the pop-up scene when you were going around? Because a lot of people do the pop-up thing or thinking about doing the pop-up thing. What was that life like? Was that difficult doing these pop-ups, or did you want some sort of consistency, or did you feel like you were always chasing a new event?
It's kind of a nightmare, honestly, like having to travel to all these different breweries or locations and set up and then break everything down, and just the whole traveling really wears you out. Mm-hmm. Having to set everything up, make sure everything's staying warm in your warmers, and you know, serve people and make sure that you're providing like the level of barbecue that you want, while at the same time not really having all the equipment that mm-hmm. you need to do that, like a commercial setup would have.
Yeah, I've always been curious because I've seen a lot of friends do it, and it doesn't look easy.
It's not easy whatsoever, but you know, that's where you kind of cut your teeth.
And, yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it was a necessary part of our success for sure.
So as you're gaining momentum and doing that, and then you got the new smoker and the new pit, because now you have a permanent location, or as permanent, like you're somewhere permanently at the moment.
Yeah. We're actually back at Division Brewing.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. That's what I thought.
Everything stays there right now. We're open Fridays and Saturdays, but it's just kind of a weekend deal, but people can rely on us to be at Division every weekend.
And from 11 till, or is it later in the day?
So Fridays we're open starting at 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Okay, that's what it was, yeah.
And Saturdays at 11 a.m.
And so are people again, pretty good lines?
Every time that I think that we're not going to have a line, people just surprise the heck out of me. And it's been that way since St. Patrick's Day. Whenever we first opened on March 9th, we had probably a 2-hour long wait. I mean, I really felt bad about how long people had to wait to get food. And since then, like, we've tried to streamline our processes and get food out quicker. We have a new ticketing system. But St. Patrick's Day was incredibly slow. And I was like, okay, I have all this food left over. Is this really going to be something that we can count on to work out? And ever since then, I mean, it has just been absolutely insane. Like, last weekend, for example, on Saturday, we had people show up at 9:30 in the morning, and they had a cooler full of beer, and they're like, well, we just didn't want to miss barbecue because of any line. So there was not really a line until 10:30 in the morning, so they're just chilling for an hour or so drinking beer. And then at 10:30, there's probably 25, 30 people in line. So it's been consistent every weekend.
So that's a tip for you, at least for people listening. They need to get there pretty early, at least. Not necessarily at 9:30, but between 10 and 10:30, because then that makes sense if you want to make sure. And that kind of is the case for a lot of places that are popular or that are gaining popularity. Now, that's also something I want to talk about, because it's the process and the line. Like, what have you done to speed up the line? Because I know that's something that a lot of people out here have trouble with.
Yeah. So now we take pre-orders online. So there's not as much as a line, because a lot of people go online and they pre-order in advance, and we have all those orders ready to go whenever they get there.
Do you have a pre-order setup, or do you have email?
It's all done through our website online.
Okay, cool. And that, I didn't notice that. I'll check that out. Okay.
Yeah, they can go on there and pre-order. As long as their orders are in by Thursday night, then that guarantees their food for Friday or Saturday.
And is there a separate side for them, or?
Yeah, so we have two sides to our truck. So one is for pre-orders. They come, just give us their name, they skip the line, and we literally just have their food ready to go right then and there. And then the other side is for people that are just showing up.
Okay. Did we miss something with a truck? Did you get a truck, or did you just say truck meaning trailer?
Well, it's a food trailer, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a 16-foot food trailer that I bought online, and AJ Custom Smokers, he completely gutted it and built everything from scratch. So
Okay, cool.
it's essentially a food truck that you can't drive. You got to pull it around.
Can you does it have can you cook in it, or is it
Oh
like
yeah,
sides and stuff?
it's got a full kitchen and everything in there. Yeah, vent hood, all that. So
Have you been serving quail since the beginning?
no, so quail was something that we started maybe like 6 months ago.
That's unique.
Yeah, I wanted to do something that was really different. I remember going to our ranch whenever I was younger, and we'd cook. My grandpa would cook like quail, outside on the grill, and that was something that he really enjoyed. Even a lot of Mexican restaurants here in the DFW area, they have like quail on the grill. It's like a la parrillada, and it's just delicious. So even Papacito's, it's a local chain. They have amazing grilled quail. So that was something I wanted to do. The food purveyors that we use, they're able to get like a locally sourced quail, which is really awesome.
Wow, that's
So
crazy. Let's talk about the menu. Is the menu almost the same as the early days, or like I guess early days is March.
yeah, right. So
Way
it
back
hasn't
in
changed a
March.
whole lot since, the 4 or 5 months we've been doing this, but we've added a few things to it. So now we have smoked turkey, which I was kind of opposed to doing initially just because I wanted to do quail instead. But we started doing it and I was like, damn, this is really good. So I want to keep turkey on the menu moving forward. And now we kind of alternate our burn-ins between pork belly and Wagyu beef belly. So that's something that I feel like is a little bit different.
That's cool. And then you
Yeah.
prime brisket? Is it?
We do prime brisket. We were initially using 44 Farms, but you can't really get 44 Farms anymore. So we've moved on to a different supplier that I feel like is very similar to what we were getting before, if not better.
Do you have
And
beef ribs both day?
we do. We have beef ribs both days. So that's something that I want to carry every day, not just make it a Saturday only thing like most places.
Yeah, that's great. That's also nice. And since you're open 2 days, that's nice that people can get it both days that you are open. And you have pork ribs,
Pork ribs, we do full spares.
pulled pork.
We do pulled pork as a special periodically.
Because I've seen it sometimes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's not like an everyday thing, but periodically we do. And then we do burn-ins as well. And then we have our house sausage, which is all handmade.
And what's
So,
that? What is the house sausage?
God, it really just depends on, the flavor of the week. But typically, most commonly, it's a pork poblano sausage.
Okay.
So
Oh, that sounds good.
poblano and cheddar cheese mixed in with, ground pork, and it's almost like chorizo like, but it is a little bit less greasy than chorizo, and it has a really awesome flavor to it.
So that's generally what people would be getting if, okay, but it does
Yeah.
change, like changes, like how so, like it could be beef. Is that a
Sometimes I'll add like two or three different sausages in addition to pork.
Oh, okay.
So we do like a nacho sausage that I've been experimenting with.
Like a
It
nacho, as in
has
with chips inside, or what?
it's got chips in it, it's got refried beans and salsa and pickled
That's cool.
jalapenos. It's literally like eating nachos in a sausage.
Was that difficult to get the combination, like the consistency perfect? Like that must be a little bit challenging, I think.
It's a little bit different. You have to leave I feel like the mix a little bit wet because the refried beans can tend to dry it out some while it's cooking. But we serve it with chips, which is kind of cool. So you just eat it on a chip, and it's like eating a nacho. It's kind
You're
of cool.
killing me. I'm so hungry right now. Like I'm so stupid. Like I do these like hungry most of the time,
Yeah.
and I'm not like just around the block. Like on Friday I can. But no, that's so. Then what sides do you have?
So we do a Hatch chili mac and cheese, which we've worked on quite a bit to get it to where it is today.
Oh,
I'm
sounds
really
good.
happy with where that is. We do smoked elotes. And it's just whole corn on the cob that we smoke, and then we dress it up like street corn.
Oh, do you serve it on the cob? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Oh,
serve on the cob.
rad.
Some people either they love it or they hate it. They either love eating corn on the cob and it's cool because it's smoked, or they would rather have it in a cup. But
It's probably because they don't want it in their teeth, right? Is that like
But
You know what? It
no.
tastes so good on the cob. Like it gets stuck in my teeth too, but it's so good.
I just remember like eating corn on the cob like that. We would go to this place called Trader's Village here in Grand Prairie whenever I was little, and these like street vendors would have smoked corn on the cob, or even going to the state fair, and it was just so good with like butter slathered all over it. I was like, oh my god, that's the same experience I want to give to people whenever they come eat here. So
can you do that year round? Is that something that
yeah absolutely,
like a coleslaw at all, like something that like a coleslaw?
We do a vinegar based serrano coleslaw.
Wow.
And so that has serranos and red onion. It's got carrots and cabbage in it. It's like really light, but it also is spicy. I don't really care for mayonnaise based coleslaw, so that was kind of my way around that.
Yeah, I think my favorite style is like a vinegar base, but it's what you're explaining is drawing a lot of the Tex-Mex flair. That's where you're.
Yeah.
Any other sides? I think that was it, right?
We did charro beans as well. Yeah,
charro beans, and that's from your mom's recipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your grandma's recipe, maybe, or no?
It's my grandma's, handed down to my mom, handed down to me. So my mom's made some changes to it, which is I really enjoy. So
is it a lot spicy? More garlic.
Yeah, it's spicy. I make it hotter than my mom did. So
that's awesome. And then desserts, you have a certain type of banana pudding, right? Some kind, like a banana pudding pie or something, cake or something?
We do cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
So yeah, my girlfriend's sister makes all of our desserts. She bakes everything there in the truck and makes banana pudding cupcakes. She does all different kinds of versions of that, you know, like Oreo cupcakes. She made like a blackberry cupcake last week, and they're all they have their own crust that she hand makes. They have their own fillings. She makes all the icing. They're incredible.
That sounds so great. So yeah. Are you enjoying this? Is it fun? And
it's great. Yeah. Like the day after, you know, we were done serving, I feel like I gotten beaten by like 10 people with bags full of bricks. But after that, I'm like, hey, let's go do it again.
Oh, that's cool. But
yeah, it's a lot of fun, and more so just getting to feed people, I think, is really cool.
And the feedback and talking to people, like that's such a great, and I know that it's a lot of pop-ups out here love that too. It's just like interaction. Yeah. And then you can instantly see how people like your food. It's just, is a brick and mortar someday down the line?
So we just announced our brick and mortar for November. Yeah,
I was trying to pretend like I didn't
know. Like you didn't know about it, right? So we just announced a brick and mortar in Arlington. It's literally walking distance from where our food truck is now.
Okay.
In a little community called Urban Union. There's a really cool pizza place going in there called Carne Rosso that's going to be pretty close by. And there's Legal Draft Brewing that's over there, but just an awesome, awesome part of Arlington that I feel like over the next couple of years is going to be the place to go for anyone
awesome.
That lives there or is visiting.
How exciting is that?
I'm pumped, and I'm pumped for the new smokers that I just ordered too, that are coming from EV Maze in Lubbock.
I've heard of them.
they're known pretty well in the barbecue community.
Are they? So. Is it 1,000?
2,000 gallon reverse flow smokers.
Wow. And are you building us like an entire smokehouse for them? Or okay.
Yeah.
So is it November? Is that what?
That's the plan for now. Yeah. So pending no construction issues or anything like that.
Will there be indoor and outdoor seating?
Yeah. So we'll have a pretty large patio, and then also the inside could probably hold around 50 people.
Will you have beer and wine, or is that something that you could have at your place, or?
Yeah, we're going to do beer and wine as well. No liquor sales, because I don't think we'll be open that late. But I want to do like brunch on Sundays, and I love breakfast, so brunch is my thing. And I really love
breakfast too, yeah. And your barbecue goes well. You could do so many things.
Yeah.
So we'll be open 4 days a week at that time, or 5 days?
We'll probably start out doing Thursday through Sunday, but I imagine within a month or two after opening, we'll be open 5 days a week.
Wow. That's so, so crazy. Like like you said, like 0 to 1,000.
Yeah.
Like that's from last summer doing the pop-ups to now come out. Like it's, like a year and less than a year and a half, you'll be at your own brick and mortar.
Yeah. I really wish I'd at least been a waiter or something before. So I had some sort of restaurant background, but I didn't think that one through, apparently.
Are you going to keep your other smoker? Or?
I think I'm going to keep it for like barbecue or festivals and whatnot. We just got invited to Smoke Dallas for this year, so I'm going to use it for that for sure.
When is Smoke Dallas again? Is that November-ish too? Or is
it, it's in September, October.
Yeah.
Definitely not in November.
Yeah. Look at that. Because that would suck.
Yeah, that would not be okay. I believe it's in September.
But that's actually a nice venue to do. It's an awesome event, but then it'll be a great way entree to let people know, hey, in a month from now.
Yeah, definitely a good venue to get our name known and feed more people.
What else would you recommend people that's not barbecue in Arlington to go to?
That's not barbecue?
Yeah, that's not barbecue.
So there's a really cool restaurant that just opened called the Tipsy Oak in Arlington. It's actually there in Urban Union nearby us. And they have like a lot of local fare. They've even had like some of our barbecue on their menu.
Oh.
Made different dishes from that. Like we smoked some bologna for them and they made smoked bologna sandwiches. And just a really cool place to go have a beer and eat awesome food.
So that might be something like, do you think you'll do collabs then with people and do little things like that?
Absolutely, yeah. Wow. We've been talking to the folks at Cane Rosso about maybe doing some sort of a collaboration on a pizza there at their Arlington location.
You definitely should.
I would love to do that. Yeah. I love their pizza.
And you'll also have that that sponsorship from Callaway, so you'll be able to sell balls and golf clubs and stuff at that.
Anytime they want to send me clubs, I'm left-handed and more than happy to try them out. So.
Okay, we'll see what we can do on that. I have zero pull on it.
Affiliate link there too. So it's
floating. CallawayGolf.com. But thank you so much for taking that. I've wanted to talk to you. We've had it's taken a little time, but thank you for taking the time tonight. And I'm so excited for you. I'm really proud of you. And like, what an exciting adventure so far. And
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to you coming and visiting.
I cannot wait.
Coming out to LA. I want to try Moosecraft and a lot of good places that you guys have out there too.
Yeah, hit me up and I'll send you my phone number. That way when you come out, I'll take you around and we'll go to all those places. Because I know that they would love to serve you if they're things are changing in LA, not quite the way they are in Texas, but
yeah,
it's starting to get there. But thank you. Yeah, have a great week. Thank you so much. And
thanks, Kevin.